Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of Mid-America. I am your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a nationwide nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they will have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Today's episode is another in our Town Hall series. Episodes featuring this title will have been recorded at the 2019 Leadership Town Hall, an annual event in which people from communities and schools affiliates across the nation gather to learn, share, and network. This episode features Jason Jackson, a CIS alum from Frank H. Peterson Academies, which is located in Jacksonville, Florida. Jason's story is one of overcoming some of the greatest barriers, thanks in part to his CIS site coordinators. A warning to listeners that this story may be triggering to some, as it does mention gun violence, death, and thoughts of suicide. Please stay tuned as we welcome Jason to the lunchroom. So the podcast is called Letters from the Lunchroom. And so I want to start by saying welcome to the lunchroom. And if you don't mind just taking a moment and telling me, introduce yourself. It can be just something really brief, but just tell me your name. Tell me who you are, just briefly.
My name is Jason Jackson. How do I start?
Well, you're an alumni, right?
Yes.
What school did you go to?
Frank H. Peterson.
And where's that located in the nation?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Florida. Okay, right on. So we are going to start with, I'm going to pull the story out of you, okay?
Okay.
So tell me, when was the first time that you heard about communities and schools?
I heard about communities and schools when they found me as a troubled kid after my mother was murdered and I was shot. In my head, they found me at elementary school at the end of second grade where they introduced me into playing the violin because they saw that I wanted to do something with my life. They saw I wanted to play sports, but nobody wanted, you know, to let me get hurt or anything like that. So they introduced me to playing the violin. So I played violin for CIS for a couple of years. They got me a therapist so they can make a brace for me. Mm-hmm. So I could play the violin without holding the bow with my actual hand, because I was a little kid. I was weak. Couldn't hold it by myself. So they made a brace for that. Ever since then, though, I've played it.
So are you still playing the violin?
No. After elementary school, I was told to audition for La Villa School of the Arts. Oh. And after that, I auditioned. And I would have to say that I got in, but I didn't enjoy violin anymore. Mm. So
yeah.
I told my orchestra teacher that, and she said, "Do you want to play any other instrument?" And I said, "The cello."
Really?
So she said, "Cello might even be easier for you to play because I wouldn't have to raise, you know, my arm all the way up to my neck anymore."
Yeah.
So she sat me down, gave me a cello, and she said, "You are doing better than you was doing on the violin." So
it was like your true instrument.
Yeah.
Like the violin was just like the stepping stone.
Yeah.
So are you still playing the cello?
I want to. Uh-huh. I hope for my birthday that I get a cello from my dad or my grandfather.
When's your birthday?
The 23rd of this month.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know when this podcast is going out, but we are recording it in September, and we are recording it on the 19th of September. So your birthday's in 4 days.
Yes.
gosh. Well, my fingers are crossed for you. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
I'm not going to see you in 4 days. Oh my goodness. Well, that's really exciting to be talking to you so close to your birthday. Okay. So you gave me such a nice intro to your story. So you met your first site coordinator in second grade.
Yes.
And tell me what it was like, because I don't think I've actually ever talked to anybody, at least I know I haven't talked to anybody on the podcast, who has been with CIS for that much of their academics. So can you kind of tell me what it was like growing up with CIS as you moved into middle school and high school?
Growing up with CIS really helped me. Before I even got there, all I felt was pain and betrayal, mostly because nobody would accept me for who I was. But my site coordinator, you know, she kept my head up, told me, whatever you want to do, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't take a no from me. She wouldn't let me quit. She wouldn't let me pity myself. She wouldn't let me take the easy way out. Mm-hmm. So after I got like all the way through middle school, I went back to my elementary school. They asked for my grandfather. They asked about me. All the kids that played violin with me, they were there the same day because we all planned to go back there and see everybody. I cried that day because those were my like true friends, because those were the only ones that, you know, saw me for who I was, the only ones I told my story to.
Yeah.
So in middle school, there was no CIS site coordinator, but I took what I got from my elementary site coordinator, and I told her every experience that I was experiencing in middle school. And she told me, not everybody's going to know your story unless you speak out. Mm-hmm. So one day I was in my intensive reading class, because I wasn't good at reading, but my intensive reading class, I asked my teacher, can I speak in front of the class? And I told them my story openly.
Oh, wow.
And then after that class, everybody's been asking me about my story. Mm-hmm. And then I said, this is exactly what I was looking for. I wanted to spread the word that, you know, my story is out there for anyone who wants to know. I don't care to talk about it. It's just I would rather not, you know, show myself as being vulnerable, because people usually saw me as spoiled, a spoiled little boy. But I usually tell them, so I usually ask, what's so spoiled about me? Mm-hmm. And then they would say, you have all this stuff in your house.
Oh.
So I'm like, so I introduced them to my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, for my 11th birthday, he got me a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when, you know, he started calling me spoiled. So he took me out and did yard work. So ever since, he was like, if you want something, you got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, if working for whatever I have is being spoiled to you, then I don't need to be next to you.
Yeah.
So, and then high school, I didn't even know we had a CIS coordinator there. But then she found me in in the lunchroom. And then she was like, I got a surprise for you.
Okay.
So we went into her office and she opened up her laptop and she showed me the picture of me playing the violin at CIS's 20th anniversary.
What?
And then I bawled out crying because
oh my gosh.
Because I remember that day like it was just yesterday. That was probably, that was my news interview day also. But then I also got, that day I also got a blessing from a family from when they lost their kid. A very good friend of mine from cancer.
I'm so sorry.
He was really a blessing for me. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the day he picked me up and told me just keep walking and never look back. That was the most beautiful day I've ever seen. Being with him, because I'll never forget those words. Just never look back.
And to keep walking.
And to just keep walking. And then also, it's just so hard because I didn't know the CIS coordinator was there. She met me my senior year. Like junior year, I wanted to quit, like quit school. I didn't want to be there no more. Like junior year was so hard. I had all these projects I had to keep up on doing, and it just turned, it was down south. Like I was already behind, then I had to get surgery, and then I was way behind, and I said, I'm not graduating on time. I can't do this. And then they had a meeting with me and my grandfather. And I don't know what it was, but when he got mad and he was like, if you're not going to do it for me, if you're not going to do it for your dad, if you're not going to do it for everybody in this room that's trying to help you, do it for your mother. And something in my head just clicked. And I sucked it up. I did every project there was that year. And I passed. I barely passed, but I passed. And I'm so proud of myself that I did.
You should be. Because holy moly.
And then my senior year it was long, actually. I wasn't behind any classes. I usually just hung around in my CIS coordinator's office because most of my classes I had nothing to do at all. I was bored out of my mind my senior year.
That's a very different story from your junior year.
Yeah, but when I finally crossed the stage and I saw my CIS coordinator, she was happy. Afterwards, I was outside with my family. They were all happy, taking pictures. And then the best words I hear from my family is, I'm proud of you. And it was a special moment for me because the arena I graduated in was the same arena my mother graduated in.
Are you serious?
My mother had me when she was 17 years old. So when she died at age 19, and everybody told me that all my mother ever wanted was for me to have a good education, I said, I'm gonna graduate. And that's what I was set out to do. That was my main goal the whole time, was to sit there and graduate.
And you did it.
And I did it.
I'm so proud of you. I mean, I just met you, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. And I'm so grateful that you shared your story. I'm so grateful that I got to hear it, and that whoever listens to this podcast gets to hear your story. And I'm so grateful that you did have that support from your site coordinator and from the other caring adults in your life. So what's next for you?
I want to be a motivational speaker.
Oh, yes.
When I grow up. I really do want to be a motivational speaker. But right now I work with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. So I can have some money under my belt. Because, you know, you always have to pay the bills.
True.
So I'm planning on starting my motivational speaking after this event, actually. Wow. Because some people gave me their cards. I talked to a lot of people during this event. Mm-hmm. They inspire me very much. And I also caught an idea of starting a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And start writing motivational speeches on there and try to spread, like, the word of, you know, overcoming and having hope.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you'd be perfect for that. I would definitely listen to you. I mean, past this, and you already have such an inspiring way of talking to people and sharing your story. And I think that part of it is the fact that you allow yourself to be real and you share that some of this was hard and there are times that I didn't want to do it. And, you know, I think that keeping it real is a really important part of telling a good story.
I never, the only reason I wouldn't talk to my peers in school or anything like that, I would make them come up to me to talk to me. I was I'm a quiet person. Everyone knows I'm a quiet person.
That's okay.
I don't like to raise my voice. I'm not wild. I'm not crazy. So I'd just be laid back in class.
Yeah.
And just, you know, shut my mouth. But if it came to like a group project or anything, I'll still be quiet.
Yeah. I've got a question for you regarding your history with communities and schools. What is your favorite memory or just one of your favorite memories?
My favorite memory for communities in school has to be when I got introduced to playing the violin.
So at the very beginning?
At the very beginning. My site coordinator, Miss Murphy, she's literally like my grandmother. Like, she took care of me. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever I needed, she was there.
Do you two stay in touch?
Kinda, not mm-hmm. really.
Yeah. We'll have to make sure that she gets a copy of the podcast.
Yeah.
I want her to know how important it was, that impact that she had on your life when you were so young.
I loved her so much. She gave me the attitude I have now.
Yeah.
Where she told me, as long as you're respectful, nobody can say you're disrespectful.
So true.
So, yes. I was always respectful to everyone that I talked to. I never tried to, what do they say these days? Start beef.
You never tried to start beef with anybody?
Yeah, I don't start beef with nobody.
Nobody wants to have beef.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess some people do, but I don't. I'm an anti-conflict kind of person. Yeah, I just want to stay on people's good sides. If there was somebody who is a student who is struggling and hears this podcast, what would you tell them?
Everything I've been through was not for an accident. I would tell them that every event I've gone through was a purpose. Everyone on this earth is here for a purpose, either to inspire or to, you know, just have someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like you are here for a reason, and there is no reason why you should want to commit suicide like I wanted to do. I learned real hard that God saved my life for a reason. Had to learn it the hard way. Like I needed so much support and so much help, and I barely got it, but it came. When CIS came, they put a smile on my face. They told me I could achieve anything that's possible.
Well, that's so true. And I know that you've mentioned a couple times that we're here at this event, and we're recording this at the town hall where you're surrounded by CIS people. And I hope you feel that love and support, because every single person I've ever met that works with CIS, we are truly here because we do believe in you and kids just like you. And you're amazing. And you are just simply amazing.
And every kid here is amazing. Like, I've spent the last 2 days I was here, I heard everyone's story and how they had to overcome mm-hmm. all of these obstacles just like I did. And I feel right at home.
Good. I'm glad you feel at home. I hate that you guys have had these struggles. I do. But I'm so grateful that you guys are all here now, and that you have overcome those, and that you will continue to persevere and be your awesome selves, because you guys are simply the best. I do this thing on the podcast that I call extra credit. And I initially started doing it in situations like this where the podcast gets a little heavy. And so it's three kind of silly questions. Well, two silly questions and one that's less silly. Do you mind if I ask you just a couple more questions? Okay. So the first one is, what is one song that whenever you hear it, you can't help but sing or dance to?
I would say Happy by Pharrell.
The one that we just heard.
Yeah.
I know, it's so good, right? It really is uplifting. I think that's what he meant to do with that song too. So he accomplished it. Okay. So the second question is, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
I would say to turn people invisible. Because people take things for granted. So I would say, you know, maybe for like a couple of hours, make someone vanish. Mm-hmm. Show them how it feels. So they'll know to keep them close.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Final question. What is one reason why you feel that people should get involved with communities and schools?
It's a family. They make you happy. They have very high expectations for you. They give you so much hope. They give you so much freedom. They give you unlimited opportunities for anything you would want to do with your life. Like when I was in high school, about to graduate, Miss Foster mm-hmm. asked me, what do you want to do after graduation? I had no idea at all. Mm-hmm. And she said, we'll figure it out. And then I came to the conclusion of motivational speaking.
I'm so excited for that. I can't wait to hear you as a bona fide professional motivational speaker. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we wrap up the episode?
I would like to thank Miss Murphy. I would like to thank Miss Foster for being there for me. They were like family that just meant to be, you know. I also like to thank my dad for, you know, reassuring me that I can pull through and make sure I do anything that makes me happy and not just do anything someone tells me to do. Mm-hmm. I like to thank my grandfather for making me work hard. 'Cause without him, I'll probably actually be a spoiled brat. But, you know, I'm not. So I have to thank him for that. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank my grandmother, who I just met probably like 2 years ago. Thank you for introducing me to God. Thank you for keeping the good spirit next to me. And I love her for everything she has done. Thank you to my brother and sister. And, well, my brothers and sister now. They keep me happy, even though sometimes I want to pull my hair out.
Well, that's what family's all about.
Yeah. Just thank you to everybody that was there for this journey. Mm-hmm. I see everyone as family, especially the CIS community.
I love that. I'm so glad to be part of that family. So thank you so much for coming in here, for taking time out of your trip here to Chicago and for sitting down with me. And thank you so much just for everything and for being awesome.
Thank you for listening to my story.
For more information on communities and schools,
please check out communitiesandschools.org.
Information about the MidAmerica affiliate at CISMidAmerica.org.
Make sure to subscribe to this podcast.
Make sure to leave subscribe to this podcast.
Follow us on social media at CISMidAmerica.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom.
I'm your host, Victoria Partridge.
Class is dismissed.
Until next time, class is dismissed.